Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another day, another dollar, the cryptocurrency podcast. Today, we'll be talking about Ethereum. We'll be talking about Dogecoin and the new Dink Donk coin fronted by Logan Paul. How do you feel about this new Dink Donk coin, Craig?
This is the first I've heard of it, first of all.
Oh, okay.
Second of all, Logan Paul. Is it Logan Paul or Jake Paul who's in Logan the UFC now?
He's not in the UFC.
In the UFC, but he's doing the MMA thing.
He boxed Floyd Mayweather
at an
exhibition match that didn't count for either of their, like, he doesn't have a professional fighting record. This is exhibition only. They fought to a draw.
Did they?
Yeah.
Nobody won?
No, because I don't think Mayweather, because Mayweather's like semi-retired. I don't think he wanted to just knock Jake Paul out so they could do more of these in the future.
Mm.
I had predicted that.
So it was Jake Paul.
Yeah.
This is Logan Paul.
It was Logan Paul that he fought. Jake Paul also boxes a little bit more professionally.
Okay.
Jake Paul's the younger, more annoying one.
Yeah. Logan, but is Jake Paul, because like one of them's also done some actual MMA fighting as well, right?
I think Jake Paul.
Okay.
Logan Paul is the one who's older from like Vine and stuff, and was the guy who infamously went to the Japanese suicide forest and put a dead body on YouTube.
That was Logan Paul who did the dead body.
Yeah.
I used to know the difference between them, but I've just not paid any attention to either of them.
If you're just tuning in, this is not a cryptocurrency podcast. I just wanted to.
No, welcome to Blossom Buddies.
This is Blossom Buddies. Since we're never going to, there are 22 minutes on the clock. Since we're never going to get another April Fool's episode, cryptocurrency has been on my mind lately. So I thought I'd hit you guys. Another day, another dollar would be a good name for a podcast about cryptocurrency, I think.
Yeah. That's true. Maybe that'll be our next podcast. We'll do a podcast strictly about cryptocurrency, a topic that I give almost no shits
about. Almost no fucks about. And something, a topic that's connected to that, I give less fucks about than cryptocurrency itself is NFTs, non-fungible.
Yeah, I don't fully understand what they are. And that's just a testament to how little I give a shit about them.
It's a piece of art that can be tied to the blockchain and represented by.
So it's like cryptocurrency, but with art instead of currency.
Yes.
Kind
of. Instead of it being a coin, it's a token.
So it's like art that
represents a certain amount of money.
It's digital art, but it can't be copied because it's got the blockchain attached to it.
Right. It's got a number. It's got a wallet number attached to it
that
increases and decreases with value. It's going to be a new way for rich people to move money around, just like art traditionally has been.
Yeah,
to avoid paying taxes,
which is whatever. We're here to talk about this season 5, episode 9 of Blossom, entitled Blossom Gump.
Blossom Gump. What do you think the plot's gonna be? Because I don't think it's gonna be what you think it's gonna
be.
Because
this
episode mostly sucked.
It was so disjointed and stupid. Like, it kind of tied together at the end a little bit, but like. Kennedy's accent gone. She's not. I mean, we had to look up the actress and the little girl. She's not a little girl anymore, but she who played Kennedy was born in New York. So the British accent she's been putting on this whole time was just that put on. And this episode was directed by Ted Wass, and I feel like because her accent's back in the next episode, I think. Jason and I think both agree that Ted Wass, who directed the episode, was just like, listen, just be yourself. You're funnier when you're not trying to put on an accent.
Because that I've been saying this for this whole season and a little bit last season, because that's when she was first introduced. That accent is really bad. It sounds like when I go like this, him putting on a British accent.
Yeah. And I thought that maybe I was trying to give her the benefit of the doubt. I thought that it was maybe that. It's not that, and it's not a fake accent. It's just that it's a 5-year-old trying to act.
Yeah.
So, which was a possibility as well. But now we've looked her up. She's from New York. She didn't have an accent in this episode. The accent's totally fake. So Jason was right.
She probably just made it through a casting call or got a nepotism situation, and then they were like, "Well, your mother Carol's British in real life and has a British accent, so you have to." Have some, because the story is that they've come right from Britain.
Yeah.
So you would, you know, a little girl would have a bit of a British accent, but like you said, you were saying earlier, maybe we canonize that she's just been in America long enough that her British accent is now gone.
Yeah, like I thought, yeah, maybe Ted Wass was doing that, being like, listen, this kid's been in America for a year or whatever it's been. Maybe she loses her accent. But it comes back next episode. Whoever directed the next episode was just like, fuck that. Fuck you.
If you want to watch this episode and find out for yourself, it's on Disney Plus. So go tell us what you think. Comment below. Nobody's literally ever commented anywhere. So
it's on, yeah, nowhere. No, that's Mike. I forget his last name. Jenny's
Mike Frank.
Husband.
Yeah, friend of the show. He's never been on the show because I wonder if we would have had him on by now had there been no pandemic, but
probably. But he commented on our website like 5 times and then realized that was a lost cause, so he stopped. Or maybe he realized the podcast was a lost cause and stopped listening entirely. I don't know.
I don't know if they still listen or not, but if you're listening to this, thanks for listening.
Yes, thank you.
Comment somewhere. Tell
more.
Me.
We have like 12 episodes, 13 episodes left, something like that.
And we still have no plan for post Blossom Buddy.
we've had some ideas thrown around, but nothing written down on paper. Nothing solid. No. Nothing concrete.
But I am excited to be done.
And to do something better. Like, there's no way what we're going to do is not going to be better. Our friend Keith was over the other day. And he was like, what are you guys going to do next? And I was wearing a WKRP in Cincinnati shirt. And he was like, you should do a rewatch podcast about WKRP in Cincinnati. And I think that might be the only show that would get less listenership than a Blossom.
I think it's so old and was such a cult hit that we would have to literally market this show to people in their age range of my dad and your
who are
dad,
not listening to podcasts.
Who are not listening to podcasts. Because
we would have to have a television show or a radio show, like a terrestrial radio show about it, so that they could tune in at a time and date.
My dad just turned 59 or 60, and your dad's 80. 81,
yeah.
So it would be a hard sell even for them, and they both probably watched it. Your dad was probably like, fuck that hippie show.
Probably. I mean, I remember watching it as a kid. My dad was probably there. The problem with doing a show about WKRP would be that in DVD and streaming, like anywhere you can find it now, the original music's not in there. Like, this was in the 70s, and like there was a ton of like there was bands getting their break on WKRP in Cincinnati, or like not even maybe their full break, but like Blondie had a song on WKRP in Cincinnati before they were big, and like just all these amazing like rock bands from the 70s. And because it was the 70s, there was no licensing deals put in place for any future distribution of the show. Like, they didn't anticipate home video. They're like, we're not gonna license these songs for home video because that's not a thing that exists. So there, you can't watch WKRP in Cincinnati with the original music anymore.
I think I figured out a show that would get less listeners, and that would be Head of the Class.
Yeah. the Saved by the Bell knockoff.
Yeah. No, Head of the Class wasn't really came a knockoff
first. I think it came first.
It definitely, it came from, it's like an 80s show, and it has the guy from WKRP, right?
Oh, I don't know. Here. Oh, Howard Hessman. The Doc Fever. Yeah, Howard.
Yeah. Hey, Dan, here's something. Dan Schneider was on Head of the Class, who is famously the kid diddler from the Nickelodeon TV shows.
Was that the guy who was in Beetlejuice and Ferris Bueller's Day Off? That kid diddler?
No. Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about Blossom. We're probably like 10 minutes in.
I had another idea for a podcast just now that we should have done for Blossom, which we're kind of doing for this particular episode, where every episode we start off by, you know, doing an episode of a show and say, okay, this week's episode is called, you know, it's season 5, episode 9 of Blossom, entitled Forest or Blossom Gump, and then we just don't talk about the episode at all.
I think we're doing that right now. Let's see how successful this is. This one episode just thrown into the middle of our lineup of episodes will be the test.
Do you want to just keep talking about whatever for the next 10 minutes, or do you
want to? I do want to. I mean, we're so close to the end of Blossom that, like,
let's just keep the format.
The opposite. Oh. Like, I don't give a shit if we throw this episode out the window. Like, who's listening? Who's going to get upset? Is anyone going to, I know we have, there's going to be like 10 listeners or whatever, but is anyone going to be like, fuck, I really wanted to hear their thoughts?
Here, okay, let's just, why don't we just, right in the middle of the episode right here, let's throw down quick synopsis of the episode.
Okay, they all eat Thai food. Oh, wait, so Nick is getting Tony to fix the fridge, even though Tony has no idea how to fix fridges.
That's the B plot.
That's the B plot. He even asks Tony to taste the liquid leaking out of it. And Tony, I love Tony's attitude, because he's just, like, if he could have been swearing on national, like, network television, he would have been like, why the fuck are you getting me to fix the fridge?
This is bullshit.
Why the fuck would I taste what's coming out of the fridge, you goddamn lunatic?
Yeah.
That's pretty much his attitude, but with a cleaned up language. So that's the B plot of the whole episode. And the A plot is that Blossom thinks the school newspaper sucks, and Joey is trying to convince her to do something about it instead of just whining about it. And then they all eat a bunch of spicy Thai food, so Blossom has a bunch of dreams where she's kind of Forrest Gump, except she's Blossom.
Well, what happens really is they go to sleep that night, and she has one dream where she gives Madonna her like famous jacket because she gets all her clothes ripped off by fans.
And I kind of thought this was brilliant. Like, they did like a bad green screen, like
just like in the movie, just like Forrest Gump.
Yeah. So they it was very obvious that Blossom was green screened on top of like Madonna backstage or entering a concert or whatever.
And then they only do one more of those, because it's the next morning. They all talk about how they couldn't sleep, and then Blossom falls asleep at the coffee, not the coffee table, but that like island thing that's, I don't even know what to call it, that's like next,
which
to
is not even the island, because there's the island in the middle.
Yeah, it's just like a cutting board on a side thing cart.
Yeah.
So anyway, she falls asleep and she has a similar dream that's similar to the scene in Forrest Gump where he meets Elvis and teaches them the fucking hip dance. She does the same thing but teaches Michael Jackson the moonwalk.
Yeah, she's like walking backwards with like gum on her shoe or something, and he's like, mind if I take that? And Blossom's like, if you want the gum, you can have the gum. And he's like, no, that dance. And then he does the moonwalk, not as good as the real Michael Jackson does. And as Jason pointed out, this Michael Jackson had a little bit of a gut. Little bit.
Yeah, he looked okay. So my comment was that he looked more like Michael Jackson than Michael Jackson, because it was such a, but like my wife walked into the room and was like, did they get Michael Jackson somehow? And I was like, no, that guy has so much paint on his face.
Yeah,
he also wasn't as smooth as Michael Jackson, and also he had a bit of a paunch, which I thought was hilarious.
You might say he's not a smooth criminal.
No, he's a fat criminal. And, well, he wasn't fat. He wasn't fat.
He's not fat at all.
Michael Jackson
was... I'm fat. Michael
Jackson was very skinny.
Yeah. Like a skeletal.
But you looked him up.
He's been in three things. Like, he's just a Michael Jackson impersonator. He's been in this episode of Blossom. He played Michael Jackson in Back to the Future 2. And what was the other thing? I'm trying to find him now.
They probably got him from the Hollywood Strip.
Oh, Punk'd. He was in Punk, so I'm sure there's some episode where they convince somebody that Michael Jackson is doing something, but it's not Michael Jackson.
Dude, Punk'd came out like 3 or 4 years later. Like, he already was looking pretty haggard in 94 or 95 whenever this was filmed.
He was in Punk'd in 2007. Though.
2007!
I didn't realize Punk'd like went that long.
Yeah, it started in like 99 or 2000, right?
Went to like 2012 by the looks of it. It went
and then
nine seasons to season 12. Yeah, and it's season 2012. But this is the original.
So we've covered half of the episode.
Covered half of the episode.
Actually, more than half of the episode. There's like one more scene after that. It's just where Blossom goes and talks to the teacher and gets the role on the...
Oh, yeah, Blossom. So Joey's thing the whole episode is like, if you don't say something, it won't get said. So Blossom decides to say something to the school newspaper editor, who is Jerry Seinfeld's mom. Not his real mom, his TV mom. And she's like, well, I'm glad you said something. Here, have a job, because you can do a better job. And Blossom takes the job. And then... we never hear from the school newspaper again, because it probably fucking killed itself.
Yeah, and so that's basically the whole episode. So some side notes that we glossed over that don't really matter. The whole jacket thing was because Carol like pulls this fucking, you know, it looks like a general meets a
like metal, so Carol head meets Carol and Shelley went shopping and come back with this. It's like an admiral's jacket, but like if a rock band, like a glam rock band, altered an admiral's jacket. Like, it has like foot-long leopard print cuffs on it, but it's clearly like an admiral's jacket, or it was at some point.
Or like my Chemical Romance.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Like except they didn't exist at the time. Oh, do you think My Chemical Romance saw this episode and they're like, let's do that, but for serious?
I didn't want to say it, but the dude from My Chemical Romance definitely dresses like a fucking admiral in a bunch of his or like a ringleader in a bunch
yeah,
of
yeah, like a ringleader. I thought like my first impression was that it was a captain's jacket from like a ship, like the HMS Pinafore.
The HMS fucking Rocket Down.
Oh, God. And then, so they like, I don't understand. A, I don't understand why Nick thought Tony would be a good person to fix the fridge all by himself. Like, Tony ends up taking right. pieces off the fridge. And I don't understand why Shelley and Carol would buy this jacket for Nick. Like, what person in their right mind would buy a jacket like that for someone else? It's not this fashionable. It's not something like... go ahead.
This joke might make a bit more sense if this was in 1985.
Yeah, or I mean, if we were in 1994 right now, maybe we'd get it. Maybe like it's just a pop culture reference that like has
hair metal was dying out at this point. It was the changeover from hair metal to grunge was almost complete as pop rock.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
hair metal went it like further into the 90s than I feel like we remember.
Yeah, Guns N' Roses kind of kept that momentum going.
Exactly. And a lot of bands were still around. They were just going through their like rehab phase, but the exactly. music was still on the radio.
Yeah. It's not like Nirvana put out Nevermind and then hair metal ceased to exist.
Yeah.
They were still doing their thing. People but were still almost, going to see Poison.
I've never seen in my lifetime. I've never seen again, a change over musically like that. Like where it just suddenly the paradigm shift goes from big hair and, you know, leather pants to fucking fuck you. We're listening to punk rock slowed down.
Yeah. Yeah, punk rock with more distortion somehow.
Exactly. And slowed down and a lot more heroin versus like cocaine more heroin. And Quaaludes.
Let's see. Like Nirvana, heroin. Whole heroin. Soundgarden, I don't know. Heroin. Alice in Chains, heroin. Sublime,
Red Hot Chili Peppers, heroin.
Red Hot Chili Peppers, heroin. Blind Melon, heroin. Although Blind Melon, I mean, I only know the one song, but they were kind of lumped in with the grunge movement, even though No Rain is not a grunge song.
Well, it is because Blind Melon toured with Nirvana and the heroin and the look, and he died before he could get his he had like one single and then fucking killed himself by accident.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was not, he's not one of the 27 Club. I think he died at like 26 or something. I might be wrong.
I think the 27 Club is bullshit.
I don't agree. It's not. Yeah, he was 28? Wikipedia, what are you saying? How old was he? 28. Yeah, he just missed the 27 Club.
I think that the 27 Club, though, is only like, I don't think that many people died at 27 to make it a thing.
Really? How much time do we have left on this episode? Because
it was like Kurt Cobain, Jimi Hendrix, fucking
Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison, Amy Winehouse. Hold on, I just pulled it up on Wikipedia. There's going to be a whole list. Okay, here.
Well, educate me, my friend.
There's a. How big is this table? It's like 100 people.
Can we also confirm that all of these people were actually 27 when they died?
I mean, this I'm on Wikipedia and it shows their exact age in years and days. Like they're all 27. I mean, unless some of these people lied on their birth certificate. But also, like, I don't know who a lot of these people are. So, plus it's not all musicians. Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe you're right a little bit. Like Anton Yelchin, the guy who played Chekhov in the Star Trek reboot. Like he was 27, but he wasn't a rock star. This is just a list of famous people who died at 27.
I think it's highly likely that if you abuse drugs and are a rock star, you're not going to make it much further than 27. But I also think it should be more like the rock star club, and the age range should be more like 25 to 35.
Yeah.
If you did a 25 to 35 club, that's my point. Yeah, that
fair enough.
Your graph or your metric would grow massively. And the 27 club seems to be a specific subset of musicians. And I think Amy Winehouse in some way wanted to join that club.
You think she was like waiting for her 27th birthday?
To just fucking
just like I'm gonna off myself and I'm 27 next year, like I'll just hold off.
She, you know, she's a myth. She's a legend. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I think that the 27 Club is a really weird, I think it should be studied. You know, I think there should be
I don't think it should be studied. I don't think it's worth putting any labor or money into.
Are there documentaries about it?
I don't know. We got a minute left in this podcast. Let's do some Googling. Documentary. I mean, someone's Googled it before. Yeah, 27. Gone too soon. Yes, there is a documentary about it that came out in 2018.
You're going to see the hardcore. Like, I think Marilyn Monroe might have been 27 as well, or that might be one of those misremembered ages.
Might be. I've gone off that webpage, but I don't think I saw her on that. Anyway, yes, there's a documentary about it. I don't know where you can watch it. It's called Gone Too Soon, 27: Gone Too Soon, and it has a rating on IMDb of 4.8 out of 10. So
Marilyn was 36, which is actually much older than I thought she was.
Yeah, I don't think she made it that long. I would have guessed like 30, 31.
Yeah. There's a fun conspiracy theory about her. So I saw a conspiracy theory that's like Kennedy was like, you know, hooking up. She's hooking up with Robert and John.
As you do.
And they both spilled the beans on Area 51. And we're like, Area 51's real. And she was like, don't tell me that.
She's like, oh. And then, they're like, oh, aliens are real. And they're in Area 51.
And they're here and they've been here for 100 years.
Thank you for listening to Blossom Buddies. I was like,
oh, shit. Let's get her addicted to Quaaludes.
Yeah.
This has been Blossom Buddies.
Follow us on social media.
And thanks for listening. This was the episode we tried to do as little blossoms as possible. Bye!
Maybe we can top it next week.